Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
This week, I want to remember a longtime active community member who died in September at age 89. Weston Kate Jr., he was known as formerly. People just called him Wes. Wes Kate embodied many of the ideals I see as ways to prepare ourselves and our communities for energy scarcity. He was heavily engaged in the affairs of his town. He managed extensive gardens and other food enterprises at Fox Run Farm in East Montpelier, Vermont. And he reported on and thought critically about the world around him. According to the obituary published in the Barry Montpelier Times Argus, quote, "Over the years, Wes Kate served as town moderator in Hartford, school board member in Montpelier, and town moderator, planning commission member, and selectman in East Montpelier, among other positions. He was a leader in many organizations, including the Callis Historical Society, the Green Mountain Folklore Society, the Community of Vermont Elders, and the Vermont Retired Teachers Association. He was a frequent public speaker and contributed many op-ed columns and letters to the editor for local newspapers, often offering wry reflections on Vermont history and what it means to live in Vermont. I was pleased to count Wes among the listeners to my radio shows. Even in the last years of his life, Wes was grappling with the local implications of global trends, as I try to do in this weekly commentary. His eyesight deteriorated to the point where he couldn't read for himself, and I stopped in on occasion to read to him. One time he spread out 5 books that he was reading for me to choose from, including Tom Friedman's Hot, Flat, and Crowded, Why We Need a Green Revolution and How It Can Renew America. Growing food, putting it by, these are things that came naturally to Wes Kate and his wife Jean, who died herself just a few years ago. Their son Paul brought his parents' canning records to a recent meeting of the East Montpelier Historical Society, and they stretch back to the 1950s. In the Transition Town movement, we talk about reskilling, learning the skills that our parents or grandparents knew that helped them live good lives while using significantly less oil. Some skills, like canning or gardening, require a fair amount of practice to become proficient at. Other skills are really just an attitude. That attitude is reflected in what I'll call the parable of the wrapping paper, in which Wes Kate called Letter from the Country number 1 when he submitted it to the Times Argus in 1983. Here's his grandson Austin reading it at the memorial service and adding a comment of his own.
Maybe it's because we grew up that way, but we've always been savers of wrapping paper. Christmas is the big harvest season. Back in the 20s, when Father was a parson down in New Hampshire, one of the parishioners gave him a huge pile of brown, mottled wrapping paper produced by the Nashua Gum and Coated Paper Company. I always suspected that they couldn't sell the stuff and hence passed it on, like a lot of other things, to the parson and his family. It was a terrible color, but strong and sturdy. That Christmas, about half the packages under the tree were wrapped in that brown paper. Naturally, it was too good to throw away after just one use, so most of it was saved and used over and over again. After a while, it became something of a tradition. Everyone who had a present wrapped in that awful stuff would carefully save the paper to use again the following Christmas. That went on for years and years. It was well into the 60s. Before the last scrap of that horrible brown paper disappeared. Its failure to show up on the tree one Christmas added a touch of bittersweet to the day as we recalled all the friends and relatives over the years who had been part of this paper game but who were no longer with us. Long before then, a good and faithful aunt had begun saving all kinds of Christmas paper. The day after Christmas, she would get out the ironing board, grab the clothes basket full of used paper, and then carefully lay out and iron the wrapping paper before packing it away for another year. In those early days, we wrapped the packages with string and ribbon so we did not have to worry about what sticky tape did to the paper. Of course, each year, a few new wrappings appear to give new life to the old collection. That way, things don't get dulled with repetition. Granted, all this may be out of step with the disposable society in which we live, but Yankee make do prevails. I'm pleased to report that this year's wrapping paper has been ironed and packed away for next year, again. And that's still true. If you've ever been to Christmas at Foxhorn Farm, you better bring your knife, because we don't rip wrapping paper.
That was Austin Cate, reading from his grandfather Wes Cate's 1983 Letter from the Country, number 1, to the Times Argus. Wes Cate died in September, at age 89. I'm Carl Ettnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.